This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I am an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the Woody to my Buzz Lightyear, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
Oh, I love Toy Story.
It's a little topical because there's a new Pixar movie out. I have not seen Inside Out yet. What's your favorite Pixar movie? Is it Toy Story?
Well... I'll go with, I don't have a favorite, but I really like Toy Story, and I challenge anyone not to watch those movies and not get a little bit weepy at the end of every single one of them.
Here's my Toy Story hot take. You ready for this?
Sure.
Toy Story, greatest film trilogy of all time. Boom. I said
okay.
It. All three movies. Fantastic. Perfect. Great. Anyway. Keith. Welcome to the Pop Shop Podcast. As always, we are here to talk charts and pop music and a lot more, maybe movies. I don't know, but probably not more movies than that.
Maybe not.
Keith, we have a lot to talk about, as we always do. We are going to be talking about the top 20 of the Hot 100, including Omi, The Weeknd, Rachel Platten, some moves from Ed Sheeran, some new albums, including James Taylor, Adam Lambert, Hilary Duff, Nate Roos. Couple other ones, and some singles from Selena Gomez, Janet Jackson, and we'll talk a little bit about Taylor Swift versus Apple Music. As always, if you like the show, subscribe to us on iTunes. That way you never, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review on iTunes, because we love that, and we'd weep tears of joy if you did that. If you like this podcast and want more Billboard podcasts, go to itunes.com/billboardpodcasts. That is our homepage for everything podcasty and billboardy. And if you want to hit us up on Twitter for any questions, he is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. Keith, before we start, let's talk about our weekends a little bit, man. I know people are going to be hearing this on a Thursday, but I want to backtrack a couple days, and because you had a pretty interesting weekend. What were you doing this weekend?
I actually went to London for a short trip, and while I was there, I saw a big concert at Hyde Park, which is a big, huge park in the middle of London. Kind of like if you think of Central Park in Manhattan, kind of the same idea, but London has a lot of parks. But this is a huge park. And the headliner was Kylie Minogue, and before her, there were a number of acts that played, including Chic featuring Nile Rodgers, who was a previous guest on the Billboard Pop Shop podcast on our special Grammy edition earlier this year. And Grace Jones, who hula hooped throughout the entire rendition of "Slave to the Rhythm," which was pretty awesome. So yeah, it was pretty cool, and it was fun to be at this sort of outdoor, 40,000-50,000 people event. That was just like pop, dance, fun, disco type thing, and it was really cool and really fun. And yeah, so that's what I did on Sunday. What'd you do this weekend, Jason?
Well, man, we went to, when I say we, I mean me and a couple other people from Billboard went down to Dover, Delaware for the Firefly Music Festival. My first time at Firefly. Had a great time. Although there was I don't know if you heard about this. Maybe you didn't because you were out of the country. But there was a huge lightning storm on Saturday, and the entire festival had to be evacuated. So that was a lot of fun.
Wow. Where is Dover exactly? Is it like a beach sort of vibe thing, or
it's in the middle
of the woods somewhere?
It's sort of near. It's probably about half an hour away from the beach. And I apologize if it's more or less than that. Doverians?
No one's.
Doverdins?
Doverians? But
Doverians?
Doverians?
But anyway, this lightning storm came and they were calling for bad weather all of Saturday. It finally rolled in about 5 minutes before Kings of Leon were supposed to take the stage for their headlining set. That got canceled. Everything else got canceled basically on Saturday night, which was a bummer, but luckily a couple of the acts made up for it on Sunday. Steve Aoki played a 2:30 p.m. set, which was very strange to watch Steve Aoki
in the broad daylight throwing
in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah. But it was a great time. There were some great performances. Morrissey was great. Paul McCartney, Spoon, Empire of the Sun, Tove Lo, Betty Who. It's a fun weekend, man.
So were you the one that wrote the story on Billboard.com or wherever it was saying that Betty Who was the second best act at Firefly?
You know what? And Betty Who, friend of the Pop Shop podcast, was amazing. That wasn't even my call. That was some of my colleagues just loved Betty Who wanted her number two behind Paul McCartney. So I signed off on it, but yeah, that was not me leading the charge. If you're not hip to Betty Who, check out her album. She was in the Pop Shop podcast last year. Take Me When You Go came out last October. It's a great album. So anyway, Keith, let's talk a little bit about the Hot 100. Now, See You Again, Wiz Khalifa, Charlie Puth, number one for its 10th week.
Yeah.
This song is just, you were right, man. I admit when I'm wrong. I said it would slow down once Furious 7 started bowing out of theaters in May, but that has not been the case. I actually wrote about this and last week, the fact that this song has, the phenomenon has outlasted the Furious 7 phenomenon, and I think, and I want to get your take on this, it's because of radio. Even when it was number one back in mid-April, the radio was still getting started, and now it's just a radio juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean it's huge on radio, and that's the thing with radio. They're usually a little late to the party on most songs. So when a song explodes out of the gate with huge initial streaming or sales figures, has a big couple first weeks, radio is usually lagging behind. So now we've got to the point where radio has crowned this, you know, effectively a song of the summer. We don't know if it's going to be the song of the summer. While its sales and streams have cooled down a bit. So, you know, it's sort of a typical scenario, but it is what we concluded would happen a couple weeks ago. 10th week at number one. It's still quite a bit ahead of the number two track, which is Bad Blood by Taylor Swift featuring Kendrick Lamar. So not quite sure how long Wiz Khalifa will be at number one. It could be a little bit longer.
Pretty crazy. I mean, it seemed like last week at least I remember reading that Bad Blood was closing the gap. But it's obviously hasn't closed the gap enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's the gap is closing. The number one song is losing points slightly faster than Taylor Swift is. However, there is still a significant chunk of points between the two of them. So it won't be next week unless something crazy happens.
Yeah.
So it could be another couple weeks.
Well, speaking of which, man, I wanted to mention a song, as we do often on this show. My pick for Song of the Summer, Omi's Cheerleader, which moves up from number 7 to number 4. And, you know, I've felt that this song was going to keep growing and growing. It certainly has. Do you think that this has a shot to be the next number one single?
Yeah, it has a huge gain this week. And if it has, you know, another, like, three gains similar to the one it has this week, it could be a contender for number one in the next, you know, the next 3 or 4 weeks. Or even sooner, depending on how things shake out. I find it remarkable that this song, which to me seems like a very perfectly okay song, it's interesting how this song has suddenly caught fire. It's nothing remarkable. It is a perfectly okay song that's perfectly light and airy, and it has a nice little like vibe and a nice little like thought behind it, but really it's not exactly like breaking the mold or like doing anything that incredibly different. It is just a perfectly nice little summery pop jingle. And yet it's a huge song, which I find fascinating.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm underestimating the quality
of the
song.
We talked about this. I just think it has a lot going for it. It has the summery vibe. I think that people really want to hear that kind of light reggae sound in the summer. It's funny how that kind of works out. But if you look at Rude last year, if you look at, I think about 22 years ago, you go back to like 93, and UB40 had the song of the summer back then. And you think of something like Sean Kingston's Beautiful Girls. I think if you listen to any of those, if you isolate any of those songs and say, is this a hit? I don't think you, any of them you come up with, yes, this is a surefire hit. But it's just the kind of thing people want to hear around this time of year. I mean, this song came out originally in 2012. It's obviously taken a lot of time, and I think it's no coincidence that the timing is right, where it's breaking in the U.S. over the summer, not over the fall or winter or spring.
Oh, those wacky pop reggae light hits from the summertime.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get Omi on this podcast.
Not after what I just said. He'll never show up now.
Omi kind of looks
like Neo. Have you seen that most recent picture that they released of Omi?
Yeah, a little bit. I totally agree.
Turns out it's been Neo the entire time. He's just like, ha, fooled you. Got a hit, and that's why you like it, because I'm a hit singer-songwriter named Neo.
That'd be so funny. But anyway, yeah, so that's number four. We'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, in the top 20 right now, two songs we talked about at length last week, but I think it's worth following up. The Weeknd's Can't Feel My Face debuted last week at number 24 and now moves up to number 12. Keith, I said last week that I think this is the song that's really going to help cross him over to a much larger audience.
And I think you might be right. It's the greatest gainer both in airplay and streaming on the Hot 100 this week. So it's not just a one-week sort of sales phenomenon. It is actually doing well at radio. So
yeah, that's interesting to me. Yeah. Because just because it's so new, it's interesting that it's the greatest gainer in terms of airplay as well.
Can't deny that Max Martin touch.
It's really true. It's such a great song, and I think it gets better with every listen. Right below Can't Feel My Face, Rachel Platten's Fight Song. Again, we talked about Rachel a lot last week, but that continues to do well. It goes up from number 19 to number 13. It seems to be probably a little bit of the after effects of, you know, the Taylor Swift hangouts and performing the song with Taylor Swift, and as well, I'm sure it's also picking up steam radio.
It's also a legit hit without the Taylor Swift touch. Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. And in the top 40, I think it's worth noting Ed Sheeran now has another top 40 hit. Photograph is in the top 40, moves up to number 34. What do you think of this song, Keith? Do you think this is going to be? I mean, we talked about this song on Soon to Be Hits.
I was going to say, wasn't it a Soon to Be Hit? Wasn't it one of the Soon to Be Hits?
I think all of these songs. I think Fight Song definitely was. Omi Cheerleader definitely was.
Yeah, it's because we're good at this. No, we're not. sometimes we screw up.
I'm patting you on the back from New York to LA, and you're doing the same in opposite direction.
Well, I mean, it's Ed Sheeran. He's sort of, as stupid as it sounds, he's like sort of unstoppable. I mean, the video is, you know, a tearjerker, and the song is the right kind of song for him right now. So yeah, he's firing on all cylinders and he's doing great. So yeah, I think it's going to be another big hit for him.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we talked, we sort of touched upon this, and I think we're going to do this next week when we talk a little bit about the 2015 first half year in review, a little bit, which I'd like to do next week once June is in the books. But I mean, Multiply, Ed Sheeran's first album, is still in the top 10, and it's been a year. I mean, you see this sometimes with, you know, megastars. I mean, 1989 is still in the top 10, it's like 7 months later, but, you know, that's a blockbuster. I mean, Ed Sheeran's second album debuted at number one last June, but it just continues to pile up these hits and continues to move these units in terms of albums as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
He is doing well. So Ed Sheeran, Photograph, number 34 on the Hot 100. Keith, let's talk about some songs also on the Hot 100. They might not be hits yet. They're in the lower reaches of the Hot 100, but they could be hits soon enough. That's why we call this segment Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, we got two good ones today. I actually really like both of these songs that we're going to talk about. So, Keith, why don't you take it?